nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Also, Psalms 55:12, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Right in your notes it says, are you too busy? Do you feel hurried all the time, stressed out by the fast pace of life? Let me ask you a question. Would that be you tonight? Let me just have a quick raise of hands. How many people would say that they are feeling right now tonight tired, stressed, fatigued, overworked, whatever that might be? If that would be you, would you just raise your hand? Look around you. You're not the only ones with your hands up. Very good. You can put your hands down. Honestly, I looked on the computer and I found in 2008 a Gallup poll that talked about fatigue and stress. And in 2000, it said majority of Americans feel that way. If you, by chance, are sitting here and you have kids, if you're sitting here and you work, then know the fact that 76% said, those that have kids and at work, said they feel overly stressed. I wonder why. Overly stressed, fatigued in their life. That's quite a number. There are a lot of people that have a burden and stress. Tonight, there's a lot of people that are sitting here that could have a burden or stress. It made me think, though, in the fact that I am just... As soon as Tom tells me what to do. Okay. All right. I was thinking about this message as I've been going to the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. And as most of you know, the fact that in my background, I basically was bringing myself up since I was 17 years old. I didn't have my mom, didn't have my dad. I was not taught things about finances, actually being even brought up. From watching my family, they weren't very wise either financially. So I didn't have a lot of an example right there. So I am going through this Dave Ramsey basically with my, you know, eyes wide open, my mouth dropped, because I'm learning things that I've never learned before. And as I'm going through this Dave Ramsey campaign, I'm wondering at first, well, why does this have to be 13 weeks? This is only over the entire summer. Every Thursday night you're here for 2 hours. I'm wondering, why is that? Why do we need to do that? Just tell us what we need to know. I'll do it, and then I'll move on, and that'll be fine. And then I'm realizing as I'm going through this that it's basically helping me because of the fact that maybe we are brainwashed. We're brainwashed by our society and our culture about how to do our finances. And I'm finding out as I'm going through this about the world's view on finances compared to the God's view on finances. And I'm realizing the fact that I have been slowly tugged through the world's view, and I listen to him at first going, oh, no, that can't be. And then I'm realizing through Scripture, I'm like, yeah, that is. Yeah, that's right. And I've been doing it all wrong. I'm looking at a situation about the fact that life in the fast lane, most of us would agree in the fact that we do have stress and burdens in our life. Things that get us down, things that tire us out because we are in the fast lane. And you know what? We've learned that from the world. We've learned that from our culture. We have learned to live a life that way. But that's not how God wants us to live. And as I was looking at this, it really hit me as I was going through Dave Ramsey and the fact that, you know what? We can be so blind into what kind of life God wants us to have, that honestly, it's something that even tonight, I can preach through this, and I guarantee if you just pay attention, it only 40 minutes and we'll be done. But I think in 40 minutes, though, it'll be just a scratch of the surface for you to understand the fact that, you know what, it does take 13 weeks to change a pattern. Right. It takes a while. And I'm telling you what, we live in a life right now where it's fast, quick, and move on. Everything's got to go, go, go. Boy, I'll tell you what, just driving back from West Coast, I have enough illustrations. Things that have happened from West Coast to here, I have illustrations about living in the fast lane. Let me ask you this, living in the fast lane, see how up you are. If we're driving on a highway right now, which lane is the fast lane, right or left? Oh, that was quick. People know, if you're in the left lane, you're going what? You're going fast. You're going a little faster. That's what you want. Nothing's more frustrating than someone that's in the left lane that should be in the right lane. Isn't that right? Boy, that can be really irritating. Oh, going to West Coast, and you know, we had two lanes, and we're going, and this is really good going two lanes, but you know what's frustrating? In the right lane, you got a semi. And he's going slow. And behind that semi is another semi. But you know what? The one behind thinks he can go a little faster than the one ahead. So he pulls out in the fast lane, kind of right in front of you. And then you gotta slow way down, and you gotta wait for that semi to get by the other one so you can go by. And you get a little irritated at that. And go, why did you have to go in front of me and slow everything down? Well, I'll tell you what, that's a symptom that we're going to talk about tonight. That's very, very important about life in the fast lane. That is, a survey has just proven the fact that most of us feel that way. Most of us are going through that. We are too busy, we are stressed out, and our life is that way. Well, let's take a look. As I read the two verses in Philippians and in Psalms, it talks about even biblically the fact that, you know, if you have those, give them to the Lord. Let the Lord help you in those situations. But sometimes we struggle with that, and there's reasons why. Let's take a look at our notes. We'll go through this as quick as we can because there's a lot of information, but I think it'll be a great help to you as we go through this. Today, we have erected a new God in our lives. It is not the God of money or the God of success. It is the God we call life in the fast lane. It's go, go, go. It is fast. It moves so fast. If you had a computer you bought a year or two ago, it's obsolete. There's one faster. If you have an iPhone from last year, well, obviously there's a new one. The one you just got now that's new will be old next year. It'll be better, quicker, whatever. That's just the life we live. And we all have to move along with that system. It's all about a hurried and busy pace of life. It is fast, it is filled, it is frantic, but it's also frustrating. It can leave you drained in every way when it's said and done. It is. It's draining. It is frantic and draining, our life that we lead right now. One writer has appropriately called this condition hurry sickness. Hurry sickness. It's go, go, go. You got to go. Our culture is infected with it. I've noticed it in my life, as I just shared a little bit about driving. In fact, we can be the type of people that I was driving back and kind of had it timed out. I kind of have an idea how long it takes to get back from West Coast, when I could leave. And I was driving and going, okay, I know I have to get back. I'm going to be preaching, so I need to get back. And we got into Vegas, and I said, I can get home at 5 o'clock. I know. I can be back at my house by 5 o'clock. That'll give me enough time. But then, you know, it was during kind of rush hour. Got through the expressway, and I got on Rancho, heading up to my house. And I'll tell you what, no matter what lane I got into, I'm on this lane, looking at this, get to a stop, I can do this. I tried it. No matter what I did, it frustrated me. I'm looking at the clock, and I put pressure on myself. I can get back by 5 o'clock, and I'm going all over the place. Cars are everywhere, and I can't go here. I won't make it here. I won't go. If I would have just stayed where I was, I would have been just fine. This would have been no different than where I was going all the time. I was going all the way, never went any quicker. But that was me, trying to go everywhere. I realized it in my own life. We are driven, busy people, 24/7. Now, if you've ever seen a cage and you've ever had, or you've seen something that had a hamster, and you see that little wheel, you get that little hamster, and the hamster goes on that wheel, and you watch the wheel go around and around, and you watch that hamster. You know what I always think is funny when you watch that? You know what I think when I see that? I think this. I think the hamster, as the hamster goes round and round that wheel, I look at that and I think, how stupid. What do you think you're doing? Where are you going? I just laugh as going around and around and around. You're going nowhere. Just go, 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 go. You're just going around, just going nowhere. I wonder sometimes if God looks at our lives like us, going around there and go, what do you think you're doing? Where do you think you're going? Why are you living a life that way? And laughs at us, saying, why are you living a life like that? Because that's not the type of life you should have. Just like we look at that little hamster going, aren't you silly? God goes, aren't you silly? Because that's not the type of life we should be leading. Are you living in the fast lane? Number one, are you living in the fast lane? Listen, we're going to take some time to go over this, and I'll be honest with you. It's an encouraging message at the end, but I think at first we're going to have to do a little stepping on toes. Holy Spirit's got to work a little bit through this to see, are you living in the fast lane? Do you struggle with this? 76% obviously said, hands around here, it looked like about the same. Hands everywhere going through this. Let's take a look at how that affects our Christian life. Are you living in the fast lane? Well, let's take a look. Here are some ways you can tell whether you struggle with this. A, you constantly speed up your daily activities. You constantly speed up your daily activities. You got something planned for the day and say, all right, here's my day, I can do it, and boom, by noon you're done with it. It's supposed to be an all day, but I can go faster, I can get it done. Let's go. You speed up that activity. How about B? You feel as though and have even said that there aren't enough hours in the day. You ever done that? Oh, there's just not enough hours in the day. How about this? I wish I could just stop time for a while. I wish I could just stop it so I can take care of this and this and this. There's just not enough time in the day. I talked about driving and what that is. Let me ask you this. When you drive and you're going down the road and you've got a stoplight, do you happen to check the lanes to see which one has the least cars? And if they have the same amount, do you happen to look at the car to decide which one seems faster? And they say, maybe if I get behind that one. I did that after I was coming back on vacation the other day, and we were driving 6 hours from Utah. We're driving, and I come down Craig, and I'm tired now. And I turn around, and I'm behind a pickup truck and a long trailer, you know, going like 15, you know. And it gets off the ramp, and I'm like, as soon as I get it, boy, I'm by you. And comes to a stoplight, and he's over here, and I'm going, I am not behind you, I know that. And I go, there we go, there's another car. I go behind this car, it looks fast. And you know, the car just goes, and they watch that truck and the trailer go wing down the road, and there I am stuck behind this. I am frustrated going, oh, I picked the wrong one. But don't we do that? How about at the grocery store? Yeah, you're laughing, I didn't even say anything. At the grocery store, you got your cart, you got your 6 items, and you go there and you're ready to go into the 10 items or less, and you see the guy out there with about 30, and you're counting them. You're not supposed to be in that lane. You've got more than 10. You're all frustrated. Or you go down and you look at the ones and you're looking, okay, this one, that one's got a lot. This one's got, no. And you go on down 20 and you go, okay, I got to go all the way down the line 3 before somebody else. And you're going down there with your cart. You're trying to race. I know I'm not the only one. Don't laugh and say, I know I'm not. I know you are doing that too. You're going down trying to find the one. And then when you get to that lane, you're all excited. Then they put the light on, you know, and you hear price check, you know, and now you're waiting even longer because you're sitting there. Those are symptoms about the fact that we live life in the fast lane. We've been trained to live this life. How about C? You're a multitasker. You're a multitasker. You have mastered the art of driving while doing other things. Most of the time when I come down, when I come to work, mainly it was during school. I don't know how many times I get behind cars and I have ladies in there and I laugh as they are doing makeup in the car. I always think, oh yeah, right. No, they are. They got makeup and they're going like this and they're doing this, but I can't laugh too much, you know, because then I see everyone else, you know, they're either on the phone or they're texting, you know, and they're doing that. People read in the car. You'll see all that. My wife gets mad every time I text, I know. Bad. But you know what? We've learned and have no problem in multitasking. It wasn't that long ago, was it? The fact that we used to be in a car trapped without anything, except maybe the radio. We didn't have the phone to bother us, or to use, or the computer, I should say, really. Texting and calling and doing all this. But now it's like you can't escape. You get in the car, and boy, you're going and going. While we were coming back, I think there were 2 texts. I made a phone call and a text while I was doing this. I know, bad. That's why I'm doing the lesson. Hey, it's not about you. I'm right here. I understand. I mean, I'm telling you what, multitasking. We get in the habit of that. How about D? You find yourself eating meals over the kitchen sink, never taking time to sit down. You're in a rush so much, you just grab food and you're on the run, basically. You just grab this and say, hey, I'll grab this fast food, and you're out of here. You just take it and go. In fact, what would be the average thing you'd find in your refrigerator? If you open up a refrigerator, would you see a whole bunch of microwavable food? We find a bunch of food that's already pre-processed that you can sit there and stick in real quick and say, hey, I can make this and go, a lot of frozen pizzas. Or the fact, are you more the type to say, well, no, we just go out a lot. We just go out to eat a lot because we're too tired, don't have the energy to make a meal, so we'll just go out quick, grab a bite to eat and go. And if you can call it food when you go to a fast food, I don't know. But that's what we do. We'll grab something microwavable or we'll go to a quick food and we'll jump and go. E, your home office or workspace is filled with clutter. Your home office or workspace is filled with clutter. Your life lacks simplicity. People praise you for the amount of hours you put in or for all the projects you have done at a given time, but you look at your place and it's just a mess because you don't have the time or energy to do anything about it. How about F? Your relationships are superficial. You never go very deep with people because you just don't have the time. You don't have the time to get to know people. That takes time and effort and energy. I don't have that. Hey, how are you? Well, let me tell you. Oh, too late. Time's up. Go. You know, you don't have time to hear about anything. If you got something important to say, write it down, text me, email me, and I might get back, but I don't have time to talk to you. Gotta go. You know, that's the life that we lead. In fact, most of us would rather have the text and the email than the whole long conversation. Be honest. That's what we want. Can we sit down and talk? No, text. Call. I don't care, but I don't have time right now. That's our life, and that really is superficial. G, you find yourself unable to love. You find yourself unable to love. Love takes time, and you just don't have it. You don't have the time and effort to put into a relationship like that. And if it is love, it's a superficial love, because love does take a lot of time, and it takes effort, and it shows care. Boy, that's just not in our vocabulary, in our culture this day. H, you experience chronic sunset fatigue. You experience chronic sunset fatigue. Each evening, you're too tired to stay up and have a relationship with your family. As the sun goes down, so do you. You know, oh, you get home and you're all worn out, you're ready to go, and you've been going, all doing this and doing that and trying to figure out this and figure out that. By the time you get home, it's like, oh, boom, bam, you sit down, is dinner ready? And then, well, here's your microwavable dinner, and you're asleep. Because, you know what, you're too tired. You're just worn out. Sunset fatigue. You're just dead tired. Now, do you see yourself in any of these? They don't have to be all of them. No, you don't have to go, well, you know, I wasn't H, or I wasn't I, you know, no, but you see yourself in any of these? Listen, if you raised your hand, most of you would say, yeah, I see myself in a lot of these different things. You can say, yes. God never intended for you to live the fast-paced, frantic lives that we seem to have chosen. That's not what God wanted. God did not want this. You go, well, how do you know God didn't want it? Well, let's consider Jesus for a moment. Let's take a look at Jesus' life. Perfect model of living. Perfect model of scheduling. Anywhere in the Bible, you can see how he did it. Now, think about the busyness and hurry in Jesus' life for a moment. When you read about Jesus, about his lifestyle, was Jesus a busy man? Absolutely he was. Was he a hurried man? Absolutely not. He wasn't a hurried man, but he was busy. Now, when I'm talking about this, I'm not trying to say the fact that being productive is wrong. I'm not trying to say the fact that working hard is wrong. What I'm trying to say, the fact, though, honestly, is we're getting sucked into the world culture about what busyness is. And I'm going to tell you what's sacrificing: God and God's work. And what God wants in our life. That's what sacrifices. We'll do all the other things that we need to do in the world. And the world will convince us, we got to go here and do this and shake that. Oh, ah, ah. We'll do all those things for the world. But when it comes to the things of God, it's just not happening. And then we wonder why. Why is that? Why is that? Because we don't know why. We really don't. Sometimes we go, I don't understand. Just like I said, I don't understand this with Dave Ramsey. I don't understand. And then all of a sudden, as he started going through, I go, I got a better picture. The same thing. As I start going through this, I have a better picture now about what Jesus wants. He was busy. There was no doubt, but he wasn't hurried. If you look in the Gospels, you can see what Jesus accomplished in his life. He took time to talk to strangers. He took time to build relationships with his closest friends, to eat with groups of people he didn't really know, to attend the weekly synagogue. He went to church meetings regularly. He spent time with elderly, with children, with everyone in between. Then after all that, he went to the cross for us and died so we could have eternal life. And he did that in just 3.5 years. You read the life of Christ, and you know, sometimes that's reading between the lines. You don't really look at those things when we do that. But when we look at how he formed relationships, when you look at the time he spent with people, you realize what he accomplished. And you realize what most people accomplish when it has to do with church and about leading people to Christ and seeing a life change, it's because it takes time with people. And that is something that's difficult to break, because that's something that's foreign to us right now. Listen, I can remember growing up my grandfather, and he'd say, we're going to go to the bank. Okay, now listen, I didn't grow up like my grandfather. I was one of these that, you know, hey, in my culture, at that time, it was, you know, you did your thing and your business, you go and as quick as we can. It was already changing then. My grandfather said, we're going to the bank. It was 5 blocks away. And I'm thinking, well, okay, we're going to walk there. Starts walking. But you think he could walk to the bank and back? Well, of course not. He went to every store in between. Walks into this store. Hey, George, this is my grandson. John, let me meet my grandson. I got to meet everyone. We went to the fire station. We went to this store. We went to the A&P store. We finally made it to the bank. I said, oh, great. Then I had to meet the bank president that he knew. That was grandpa. But you know what? That wasn't mine. That was ours. That's what they did. They knew people. And they talked to people. He'd be shocked now, the fact you don't even have to go to a bank. Get your ATM, you go there, you don't talk to anybody. He goes, I don't want an ATM. He said, I want to talk to people. You know, we don't talk to people anymore. It's just why? It takes time. And you know what? Being a Christian and ministering is all about people. And you know what? As Satan starts doing this, understand what's going on. As he starts doing our culture, and slowly, you don't realize, you just think it's great. Oh, isn't this face? We can go to ATM. I don't have to talk to him to get money right away. I'm done. I don't have to wait in a line. Because why? It takes time. We're done with time. We get mad at a computer. Go, come on. I mean, I can get this computer, which is faster. This one's out. I need this one. Because it's a split second faster. That's our life right now. It really is. You get to a stoplight and go, red, come on, green. You can't take it anymore. We don't like any patience. That is our life. So people take time. And Satan's going, that's right. So don't take the time. Do you know why it's so important then when we go out door knocking? And you go to someone's door and they actually open up and you actually talk to them. It's like, what do you want? What are you selling? And you don't realize you're not selling anything. Hey, I just want to give you some information about the church. They're like, thank you. Because it's foreign. It's foreign to talk to people that someone actually thinks you actually kind of care. That's foreign now. It is foreign. But I'll tell you what, Satan's using this and the fact that people just really aren't, you know, it's weird to talk right now. Don't talk to me. Just do your thing and leave. When you ask somebody about, when that waitress comes, have you ever talked to a waitress by their name? They get their name tag. Do you ever ask them by their name? Thanks, Shelly. You know, they look at you kind of, because you actually said their name? Because they're just not, hey, you're just a waitress. Where's my meal? You know, and so when you actually talk to them, and then someone says, how's your day? And you go, mine's great. How's your day? I mean, they are really taken back because they just know it's just lingo that they're supposed to say. How's your day? Okay, I know what you're going to say. Okay, let's get to business. All right, you know, but when you actually take time, people sit there and go, wow, this is different. That is not, see, we're living in a life right now that Jesus would not want. And you have to see it and understand that, how important that is, that we need to get out of that type of mentality. Take an honest inward look at your lifestyle. Take a look at it right now. As we're going through this now, we can laugh at the different things and laugh at ourselves, but the truth is where are you right now? And you go, that's me. That really is me. Being too busy or living a hurried life is not a badge of honor. Understand that? Being too busy or living a hurried life is not a badge of honor. Now, I don't know why, but for some reason we feel compelled to convince people that we are busy all the time. We're embarrassed to tell people, what are you doing? I'm absolutely doing nothing. In fact, I got my feet up on the desk right now. What are you doing? We don't want to say that. What are you doing? Oh, I'm working hard, boy. Oh, yeah? And it's almost like a competition. Oh, you think that's? Let me tell you what I'm doing. You know, oh, I stayed up 20 hours. Really, I stayed up all night. You know, it's like we want to compete with that. And you know what? When you got to take out your phone and you got to say, hey, look at that. I got my calendar and it's all booked up, you know. And you know, I don't have an open square. I'm doing all this stuff. It's like we got to show everyone that we're doing something and how busy we are because that's the way it is, isn't it? We got to show people how busy we are. Our calendars have to be filled all the time. In a world where our computers, our movies, our music, our worship service, our prayers, our time of devotion, our meals, our cars, and more have been made to run faster, and we're not really better off for it. In fact, we're worse off for it. But that is the fact of life right now. Sitting and watching a movie is tough sometimes, and they've shortened them and shortened them and shortened them because people don't have the patience to sit and watch them anymore. Now, this might be tough, but we're worse off because in a fast-paced, instant world, we have become impatient with God, too busy to pray anything more than a token prayer, too busy to read or study, too busy to develop the kind of depth of soul that it takes to live a real Christian life. We're religious, but spiritually bankrupt. Think about it. We are religious, but spiritually bankrupt. We attend church, but we are sometimes angry, bitter, unforgiving, unloving, stressed out, burned out, and put out. And why? Because there is no depth living 24/7. We live a superficial, shallow, hollow lives at times. Lives that are outwardly admirable, but inward lacking and fundamentally is a spiritual issue. We'll come in and just say, tickle my fancy, come on, come on, time up, let's go. Because that's the way our life has been. We've been trained in that. We've been trained that way. Just like I said from Dave Ramsey, we get trained financially and we got to break it. We're trained to be quickly into this. This is how it is. This is how it is. I'll guarantee you right now, if I went in this service, and service ends at about 8:15, if I'd go about 8:30, I got people about on the edge of their seat. You know what? You get a little nervous. You're going, why is this going long? Why? Because time is so valuable, it seems, because we know we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. Go where? I don't know. I don't care. I just got to go. That's just our life. I just got to go. And that's the lifestyle we live. It really, really is. And because of that fact, we become shallow, hollow people. We come in here to shake hands with people and say, hey, hi, hi. Like I said, we don't have the time to really get to know much. And then what happens is we do our little thing, and we might do that broken prayer. It's kind of like this. You get up in the morning, and you're tired, and you get up, and you go, oh, yeah. Like it says, okay, oh, yeah, you take a shower, you quickly get dressed, and okay, you got to eat the meat, like you sit in front of the sink or something. You eat your meal, you go there and go, okay, well, that's right. Oh, I can't go. I got to pray. Lord, bless today and work in my life. Okay, I got to go. And then you go, and you go, oh, wait, get back. Lord, I love you. And then you go. And there you go. And so what happens is we have these shallow lives, and we're thinking, well, you know what? I'm praying, and I'm reading my Bible, and you know what? You read a couple of verses. I'm not saying that's always bad. But the thing is, when that's all our lifestyle is, a quick prayer and a quick verse here and there, and there's no real depth of relationship there, that's not what God wanted. But you have to be honest. We live a life that's fast that way, and we don't take the time to just, whoa. You can be sitting here right now actually feeling, I'm listening, but you're not. Your life is, your mind's going like this. You're thinking, I got this to do, that to do, got to go here, there, and everywhere. So you're taking part of it in, then you walk out. And you go back to your life of the world and think, that's the life. No, this is the life you're in right now, right here. And we're going to see that. So right off the bat, we can take a look like this. Right now, you have to ask yourself, are you living in the fast lane? Majority, by far, say yes, they are. Well, then two, what causes this kind of lifestyle? What causes this type of lifestyle? What causes it? Okay, all right, I am. All right, I am. Well, what causes that? Well, let's take a look real quick through these. They're very good. One is pride. The problem may be pride. It could be pride. Do you stay overly busy because you think no one else can do what you do? It's all about you. I can do it. But what about, let me do it. Do you live a hurried life because you've become overly convinced of your importance? You're convinced, hey, it's all about me. I can do this. I want to do this because it makes you look good. Because is there some secret part of you that wants to be noticed? Now, this is thought with a man. You got, you know, prideful. When you work, it's like, I want to do a good job. And there's nothing wrong with doing a good job. I think we should do a good job. Motives, why? Because if it sacrifices the things of God, if you do this to sacrifice the things of God, hey, I'm doing this because of this. Hey, and you can be spiritual about, well, I'm doing this to raise my family. And are you trying to go up the corporate ladder where the fact is you're not spending time with your family? Is the fact that you're working so many extra hours to make that happen? The fact that you can't come to church, you can't go soul winning, you can't do those things, you can't pray, can't read because you're doing this? Then you got to question whether or not that's right. It's pride. I. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with well-advised is wisdom. How about fear, the second thing? Fear. Why fear? We fear that we are wasting time sometimes. We do. We fear that. We fear we're wasting time. Now, I don't think we should sit there. God's given us time, and we should use our time. But we have this at the fear of like, I'm wasting time. I can't waste time. I gotta go. It's an unhealthy feeling to be doing that. Our culture tells us that we've got to be moving and being productive 24/7. So we rush on to the next activity because that's what our culture tells us to do. We look at our lives and fear we're wasting them. So we try to fit in as many activities and adventures and accomplishments as possible, driven by fear and worry. Proverbs 3:25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Think about it. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't fear. That's wrong to be fearing anything. We should not fear. Now, those two are possible, and they can be in our lives. I think the last two are most likely the issues, and that is misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. Many people who hurry here and there to do here and there do it because they have never really determined what their priorities are. You know, it takes time to do your priority list. It takes time to really do that. Well, I don't have the time to do that because I'm rushing here and there. And we can all say this: God's first, my spouse is second, my children are third, my work and my ministry. And we can say those words, but we don't live those. Then on top of that, we can say it, but our priority and the time we spend with that can be all whacked out. And how much time we spend on those areas. Misplaced priorities. You got the soccer mom that's got kids in the car, and they go, okay, just grab that sandwich, just get in the car, we got to get the practice. You go to the practice, and you run in there, do the practice thing, you get in there, go, okay, we got to run over here now. Jimmy, he's got to go to this, Paul came, and we got to go over here and do this. You call dad and say, Dad, can you pick up something to eat? Just meet us at the game. Because, we got to eat, and we got to go. That's priorities. Our priorities are mixed up. You're running here and there. Now, again, it's nice to spend time with the family, but when you're sitting and running around, and then on top of that, this is running around on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday, then what are we saying? We're saying, well, this is important. No, what you're saying is this world and the culture of our world is more important than the things of God. And we're getting it mixed up. And our culture we're just going with it and saying, I'm a good parent. I'm taking my kids here. My kids are involved in here. And I think that's great. But you know what? There's only so many services. And there's only so much time that you spend. How much time do you spend with God compared to everything else you do in the world? Work, movies, TV. Yeah, we'll cut those all out because, well, I'm too busy. Because your priorities are mixed up. It's as simple as that. Dads aren't off the hook either. Dads just sit there and work all these extra hours and you miss your kids growing up. You're missing your kids growing up. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest blessings that happened to me was years ago, I think Caleb might have been one going to 2 years old, I think, at the time we were going to Pensacola and just starting my master's. And it was over the summer months. And so I was going to travel, be gone all summer. And Pastor said, well, you're not going to go by yourself. Your family's going to go with you. And so we rented a house for the summer. And I remember Caleb was just starting to crawl and pulling himself up. While we were getting in Pensacola, I was getting my master's. We were in this rented house, and there he was. He was starting to walk all over the place, and he was doing all this. And I thought about that, thinking, you know what? If Pastor didn't say to me, bring your family, then I would have been there, and I would have come back, and Jan would have said, guess what? While you were gone, Caleb started walking. Now, you might not think of that as a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I don't want to miss things like that in my kids' lives because of something. I don't want to miss that. I'm dad. I want to be involved. I don't want to find out later. And some things maybe can't be changed, but there's a lot of that can be in our lives. And so what happens is we sacrifice things and we miss out on our kids growing up. We can't allow that to happen. We just can't allow that to happen. Here's another good one. Church members miss out on one of the greatest privileges by being too busy to enjoy the church relationship God has given them. Because we're too involved in doing other things, we're here. God has given us a blessing to be able to fellowship and to do things together, to be an encouragement for one another. And we miss out on that because we're not maybe here at the times to do it. We're not being here to be an encouragement. You're not getting fed. And we miss out on the blessings of God. It's an amazing thing that happens. But it's a great opportunity we have. Misplaced priorities. The last one then is lack of discipline. Lack of discipline. So much of our busyness and our hurry comes because we are just too lazy to plan ahead. We're too lazy to plan ahead. We're too busy with our world activities that we go, oh, when you time you get home like that, I talked about, you're too tired to even plan anything. You just go, oh, whatever, we'll just live like we are. We're not planning anything. Some of you come to church in a frenzy, maybe even tonight because of lack of discipline. I remember someone that was a staff years ago say, you know, Liberty Baptist Church, we could call it the 10-minute late church. Because when church starts, you look out here, and sometimes we go, where is everybody? And by fellowship, boom, it's packed out. And I'm thinking, that's about 15 minutes. That's only 15 minutes. You know what that 15 minutes is? That's your slush time. What's 15 minutes? What's that 15 minutes? Well, that's time that you fellowship, saying hi to people. That's the time that you get your heart kind of prepared for the message as we sing hymns and sing songs. And, you know, we'll hear the great choir that we have that some of you miss because of the fact that you're not here. And you know what? It's all that to minister to us. Why? So we can get prepared for the message. And sometimes we walk in, what, in a hurry. Okay, we made it. We parked way in the back. We sit down and go, okay. And the pastor says, open up your Bible. I made it. Okay. Like you're ready to be fed. But you've missed that whole part where God is ministering through all of that, and you just walked in. And we do this week in and week out, and week in and week out. And sometimes we don't recognize the fact that that's it. That's the whole point, is the fact that you're 15 minutes late to everything. Because why? It's a lack of discipline. And it's got to be honest. Some of you work 24/7 just because of a lack of discipline in your spending. You know, you spent too much, so now you got to work that to do that because you don't have a discipline in there. That's where the Dave Ramsey comes in. Can you be honest with yourself? Are you living in the fast lane because of pride, fear, because of misplaced priorities, or a lack of discipline? Tell you what, I have a book here, a good book. You can see it behind me in the scene, or on the screen behind me. It's called The Disciplined Life, The Mark of Christian Maturity. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I read this book first when I was at Pensacola getting my master's. It was a book we had to read. I wish I had this book a long time ago. Really, I really wish I would have had this. It's a great book if you have a high schooler. Great book if you have someone going to college. We ordered 10 of them. And they should be going in our bookstore. I don't think they're in yet, but they're hopefully in by Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a very inexpensive book. There's only 120 pages, small book, easy read. But I'll tell you what, it trains in the area, it's a Christian-based book, on the discipline life. About being disciplined, about being, say, okay, I need to do this in life, why? So you can be organized, so why? So you can do the things of God. Because that's what we need to be disciplined to do also. We'll be disciplined maybe in other things, and the things of God, we won't. Or our life is such an array, disarray that we're not even doing the things of God. Some of you actually might actually be able to go out soul winning if you just got your life in order and just got disciplined about it. See, some of us can get into such a routine that turns into a rut, and the word change scares you to death. Because as an adult, you can make that call and say, I don't need to make changes. As a child, we'll make changes in our child's life all the time. They got to do and go and do whatever we say. They're changing all the time, and they get used to that. When we get to an adult, we get to the point and say, this is my life. It's a routine, and I like it. Don't do anything that's going to rock the boat. Don't do anything that's going to cause waves, because we don't like it. So when we get to the habit where there's no pressure on you to do that, it's scary to do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of you need to read the book and maybe start taking that step of faith into doing some service for the Lord. Taking that step and going out door knocking because it's not the end of the world. Taking that step and taking a bread basket and doing things of God. And instead of taking that step and doing strange things and going, you know what? I just became an assistant coach for the soccer team. I've never done that before. I'm so excited because my kid's on the team. And I'm just so excited. Have you ever gone door knocking? Oh, I couldn't do that. That scares me to death. But we will do things for the world's sake, but we won't do things for God's sake. Because this is last on the priority list, if we have a list. This is a great, great book to help you out. So if you have a teenager, or you know what? Understand the fact, your teenagers and your kids are following your example. So if you're in a disarray, and if you're living a fast-paced life, your kids are being trained to live that fast-paced life too. Know that. This is a great book. So if you want, pick that up. I think it'll be a great help to you for those that struggle in that area. Okay, with that now, nuts and bolts, number three, how can we fix the problem? Okay, all right, we understand that now. We're living this. Symptoms there, figured out the fact that, yes, I'm one of those. It's pride, it's fear, it's priority problems, or it's lack of discipline. How can I fix the problem? Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Matthew 28 and 30. If you don't have it up, please take a look at it in your Bible, because I want to have you all read it with me, because it is some of the best verses in the Bible. Let's read it together. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? Reading those verses is like reading the 23rd Psalm. I mean, think about what we just read in three verses. It starts off, come unto me. Who, all ye that labor and are heavy laden? Are you sitting there going, oh, that's me? But what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As we look at these verses, we're going to dissect those three verses, and that's the key, because this is what it's about. How do I fix this? How do I get out of that fact? How do I get out of the lifestyle that I'm in right now? The world's got me trapped into this. First, let's know a key word. The word there is yoke. Some of us know what the yoke is. Webster definition of a yoke means a bar of wood so constructed as to unite two animals, usually oxen, enabling them to work in the fields, drawing loads, pulling instruments used for farming. He's got a picture of what a yoke looks like. And you got two oxen there, and you got this wood that goes across. You see the metal circle in the middle that it could be used to pull, could attach something that he could, the farmer or whatever, could use to lead the oxen. But take a look at the yoke, the actual wood. You got the bars around their necks. That's not just a little piece of wood there. That's a heavy piece of wood that's hanging there on their necks. That's a heavy load that those oxen are going to have to have on them all day that they're working. Now, at first you go, that's not that bad, but I'll tell you what, you try to hold that all day. You try to use it all day, and you tell me that doesn't get tiring. To have that around your neck all the time, that's the yoke that is used. And you know what, yoke is actually in the Bible over 50 times throughout the Old and New Testament. You'll hear the word yoke, and that's what basically what it's used, and that's what the use of is what you're seeing behind me. Well, let's take a look now. From 28 to 30, there are four key things in these verses that can be a great help to fix this problem. I'm going to handle it in two ways. One is, basically, if you're sitting here right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these are key verses that can help you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The same token, if you're sitting here and you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then, and you're living in this fast-paced, worldly culture, then these verses are a great help to you also. We'll look at them from both ways. All right, let's take a look first. We see this. We see the invitation. In these verses, in verse 28, there's an invitation captured by three words. Come to me. You see that? Come unto me. Now, who's speaking in here? Mine's red, so who is this? This is Jesus speaking. Come unto me. Now, if I looked at Bill, Bill's in the front, and I say, Bill, come to me. Anytime. Okay, I'm tired, Bill. Running out of time. If we stay till 8:30... Thanks, Bill. That's all I need. Bill came to me. He came to me physically. That's all you need to see. He came all that for no reason. Bill came to me because I simply said, Bill, come to me. It was physical. Bill physically came to me. In here, there's a little bit more involved when Jesus is saying, come to me. And when you look in the Bible and you read about Jesus, he's calling to us to do a couple things. One is to repent. He's calling us to repent and to follow and to learn from him. But there's even more than just that we need to learn from. Come to me. It's not just a change that is called for in conversion. There's more than that. It is a specific choice to leave sin, trust in Christ, and start following him. It's a choice to say, I'm going to leave the sin, and I'm going to come to him. It's not just a physical thing. Bill didn't do anything but just come. But there's in here, Jesus saying this, you need to have the choice to leave sin. The invitation is to come to me. The choice is made to leave sin, to walk away from it. When you know you need something better in life, and you read about Christ, you are motivated to change your direction. Give up the sin in your life and come to him. See, what we need to understand the fact that if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the first thing you got to understand is that we're all sinful. We all have sin in our lives, and we have to confess that sin, turn from that sin, forsake that sin, give it to Jesus, and then come to him. We have to forsake that sin. If you're sitting here right now and you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you go, man, I'm living in this world, and I am, man. I'm battered. I'm beat, man. I'm living a life that's hurried, and I got this burden on me, and man, it's heavy to take. It's because you're living a life of the world, and you're not living the Christian life. You need to come to Jesus. And the thing is we don't. You got to understand that to fix the problem is you first need to come to Him. Know where the problem is. Then the next thing is well, what do I do with the problem? Where is the solution? The solution is Jesus Christ. Go to Him with it. Go to Him with it. The problem is we have to find time to do that. Go to Jesus with it, with the problem. So you have an invitation that's put in here. The invitation is come to me. But then we see the invitation is what? The people. Well, who is He talking to? It says here, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me is the invitation to who? All who labor and are heavy laden. Because of the burden of sin, the soul of the sinner is weary. Listen, because if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've got this load of sin. And you might not even realize it. Now you go, man, I'm just carrying this load. That load is sin. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Give it to me. And I'll give you rest. Go to Jesus and lay that sin at His feet. He's inviting all those that don't know Him as Lord and Savior. He says, take that burden of sin off and give it to me. And you can do that tonight. Just give it to Him. At the same token, if you're sitting here and you go, man, I'm living in this world. I'm just living in this. What am I to do? He's talking to you because you know what? You got this burden of the world on you. You're living for worldly things. You're being rushed and pulled and pushed by the world. You got this ring in your nose and you're letting the world pull you everywhere. And you're not realizing the fact that that's what the world's doing. He's talking to you too and saying, give it to Him. Give it to Him. We are heavy laden and we labor under the toil and burden of attempting to live under our own will and guidance. Oh, actually, the one before that is our self-will and our sin does not provide us with peace or ease or freedom. It deals with our self-will. We have self-will and we decide whether or not we're going to take this, keep it close to us, or we're going to give it. Understand the fact that if we have this labor and we have this heavy laden, we got this load on us, it's because we have a self-will and we're saying we're keeping it instead of saying I'm giving it up. Jesus wants to help us out from under this burden, but we got to be willing to give it to Him, and we have to understand we have it and we want to get rid of it. He's speaking to everyone about this now. There's two main things that I can look at. Take your Bibles and open up, and you can stay in Matthew chapter 11. Keep your finger there, but go to John chapter 8. It's not in your notes. John chapter 8, verse 1. And we're going to read a story that we're familiar with, but it's a key story that we need to read real quick. John chapter 8. It says, in chapter 8, verse 1 in John, it says, John went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none of but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Sin no more. Understand, Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Sometimes you could be sitting here now and say, boy, you know what? I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I understand now I need to come to Him. I understand I got to turn from my sin. I need to give it to Him and turn from that. But how can Jesus love me? Jesus loved the sinner. He hates the sin. He loves each and every one of us. He just hates the sin. And He says, just sin no more. But I like this too, Luke in chapter 10, if you want to go to that, Luke chapter 10. And again, those that are sitting here that know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, in Luke chapter 10. I love reading this because it's so pointed. It's just so clear and clean. 10 and verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me.'" Now, does that sound familiar? And we're living our rushed life in that, and you're running around, and you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you feel like, you know what? Someone needs to help. I'm busy. I'm working. I got to do this. You talk to your husband. You talk to your wife and say, "Come on and help. You got to do something." Well, here's Martha saying, "Come on and do that. I need help. I'm cumbered about. I got all this I got to do." And I love Jesus' response. "Martha, Martha," I can just hear it. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You're worried about so many things. You got so much stuff on your mind that you got to think about. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So many times we're so busy, all doing and going, and oh, I got this, and then we have to go, we got to do this, come on, go, go. And yet here we see Mary sat there and goes, "No, I'm going to sit down at Jesus' feet, because you know what? As much as there's a lot to do, this is important. This is important." You know what? As much as I'm glad to see all of you here on a Wednesday night, it's more involved than just a Wednesday night, is it not? It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday occurrence about sitting at Jesus' feet every day, taking time in his word, taking time praying with him. Now, what if Mary sat there, and it says here that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and let's say Jesus is sitting there, and Mary went like this. "Oh, isn't this nice? Oh, that's it. I'm done." He walked away. He go, well, she didn't sit very long. In our hurried life, isn't that what we do sometimes? It said that Mary sat at Jesus' feet to listen to what Jesus had to say. That takes time. That took time to take away from anything else. Even Martha saying, "I need work," and seeing Martha running around, I don't care. Did I turn off? Check, check. Am I on? Okay. Understand the fact that we sit there and we think we're so good in the fact that we take that split second with Jesus and go, whoa, whoa, and say, "Isn't that great? Look what I did. I took time and I just sat down at Jesus' feet for a second. I read this, I did this real quick." That's not what he's looking for, but that's what our culture has trained us in our life to be. And we have to see that. These are people who know their anxiety and acknowledge their remorse and know they need rest. They know they need rest. That takes us to, you see, there was an invitation. Who are the people? Now we see the promise. The promise is, "I will give you rest." Unrest is one great characteristic of the world. Unrest is one great characteristic of this world. There is no rest in the world. We are in a hurry, but we don't know where we are going. We're in a hurry going, we don't know where we're going. But Jesus is the one with the rest. I love the fact that when you read this, there are two key expressions here. "I will give you rest, and you shall find rest." Think about it. God is going to give you rest, and then you will find rest. Great, great, great expressions there to lean on. We must believe in him and make the personal choice to come to him in obedience. He's got a great promise. We need to make sure that we end up giving our sin to him. We have to make sure that when we do that, to understand the fact that with that he's got rest in our best being, that he wants to give us rest, he wants to give us encouragement. Then we see the last thing is the requirement. It's taught in four key words: come, take, learn, and find. The requirement is taught in four key words: come, take, learn, and find. We cannot have the promised rest Jesus wants us to have if we do not do what Jesus tells us to do. There's a requirement. If you want rest, there is a requirement that Jesus gives us to do. And what was that? To learn of him. We have to learn from him. Come, take, learn, and find. The way I look at it is this: come to him, take the free gift of salvation, learn of him and his love for you, obey him, and you'll find rest in him.
And then he finally says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Understand, if you are weary, or if you are wearing this yoke, you are being led in exactly the work that pleases God. If you're wearing the yoke that Jesus is providing, then you are being led in exactly the work that pleases God. Very, very key things that we have to keep in mind. In conclusion, Matthew 11, 28 and 30 is personal. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 is personal. Seven times Jesus refers to himself as me, I, my, me, I, and my. And my. Let's look at it really quick and I'll read it through it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's personal. That's a personal statement there that he has said to me. It's said to Bill. It's said to James. It's said to Jamie Allen. It is said to each and every one of you. Jesus is talking to every single person here. Come to me. It's personal. He's talking to every one of us about this, those three verses. It's not a religion, but a way of life. This is a way of life he's trying to teach us to live. And I like this. It's a pairing of two and a submitting of one. That picture showing two oxen. As I researched that, they said a lot of times what they did is they put an older oxen, the one that was trained, on one, and then they put a younger, newer one on that wasn't trained on the other side so they could be trained, because they have to learn to be as one. You know the statement of don't be unequally yoked, unbelievers, because it doesn't work. In this, and if you look at that, it goes, there's no way that'll work. See, Jesus wants to train us and to guide us. Well, you know what? It takes two, but it takes one to submit. We are to submit to him and to his ways. We are to submit to his ways and to what he has in his word. Submitting to him, submitting the fact that we shouldn't live for this world, not to be harassed by the world, not to live a life that's rushed and hurried, but live a life that Jesus said, no, get busy for me. Do my things. And if you do the things that I ask you to do, if you go out soul winning and serving and doing that, then my burdens are light. Listen, you know what? Are the Sanchezes here? They're discipling? You know what I always like about the Sanchezes is the fact that when I come here on like an open house Sunday, you know, it's busy. A lot of people are doing something. But you know what? Them, maybe the Bergs, they're also, I see them in the kitchen. You know what? They can be in the kitchen in the front of the sink for literally 3-4 hours. And you know what? That's frustrating, because I've been doing that lately. And you know what's frustrating at the kitchen is when you have you're doing some of these meals, and then you think you got it all mastered, and you got it, and then people start dropping things off right by the sink. You know, this pot, and it starts adding up and adding up. And you think, I don't think I'm ever going to get done with this. And that's just having a basic meal. But when you have old-fashioned Sunday here, it's amazing how many, and they'll be there 3 or 4 hours. They're dead tired. They're pruny. They come in. They don't even want to come to church at 6 o'clock. They come in here and they'll sit in the back because they're drenched and they're tired. But you know what? Some of the best tired I've ever gone through, some of the best times I've ever felt when I was drained out, are all those things I've done for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, even though they're out in the kitchen, and the pastor gets up and goes, 53 people received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. They had a part in that as they were doing that. And they walked up with their heads up and saying, yes, I served and did that. Were they tired? Sure. Were they weary? Yes. But you know what? Their burdens were light because they did it for the Lord. We get it all mixed up and think, why am I so drained? Because your draining is all about the world and not of the Lord. And we're not doing the world. We're not doing the Lord's work like we should. And so we come drained, and then all of a sudden, I can't do the Lord's work. I got too much of this world stuff that I got to deal with, which is tough. Let me end with this. There's a story. And maybe for a few years ago, there were three men in Florida. They were professional football players. A couple of them, I think one might have been a college football player. And they went fishing. Maybe you've heard it's off of the coast of Florida. And as they went out, something happened. I don't know if it was weather, and the boat capsized. They were able to get into a little dinghy boat, you know, a little fishing boat out there. And they were hanging on to it. And I even believe, from what I remember from the picture, it was upside down too. And they were hanging on to this. And they were just there. Now, again, this wasn't in the summer. I believe this might have been like February, March or something. It was chilly out there. And the story was, and I remember seeing the picture of a helicopter, and you saw nothing but this blue ocean. and you saw this dinky little boat sitting there, and you saw one guy hanging on the of the motor like this. And they asked what happened. And he goes, there were three other people. And he says, well, one guy was hanging out there for a while, and then he just decided he thinks he could swim for it or something, and he just took off, and he just disappeared in the night because he just went out and left. They were convincing him not to, and he goes, I don't know if hypothermia got to him, but he goes, he just took off. And then after a while, this guy thought he saw land, and he took off, and he just disappeared in the night, and they left, leaving just that one right there. And he got rescued. It was an instant. I mean, he had to stay there for a while. What a lonely feeling, but there he was. Now, I say that because here we are, and the picture shows this little boat in this vast ocean. Sometimes we can get in the habit of sitting there thinking in this big ocean and thinking, that's our refuge. And that big blue ocean is the world. And you've got that little dinky boat, which is the church and our Christian life. And we can be on that, and that's our refuge. And yet, some of us will swim away from it willingly. And they'll go out there and they'll disappear in the night. And there they go, like those other two did. And the one that stayed got saved. That stayed there. And the other two never seen again. Understand, this world has nothing to offer us. But God does. Look at our lives and take a look. If your life is in the fast lane, it can be changed. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time. As we look into this about a life in the fast lane, Father, we live in the life of the fast lane. We are busy. We are moving. We got things to do, places to go. Father, we understand that. And some of it can be very productive and very important. But Father, we understand the fact that Satan will use that to take us away from your work and to take us away from the things that you want us to do for your sake. Father, help us to prioritize and be disciplined in the fact that in our life of rushing, Father, that we understand that we have a responsibility to do your will, a responsibility, Father, to do that. And if we do, you will give us rest, Father, and we thank you for that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight? If you do, if you raise your hand as a testimony to that, put your hand up, you can put your hand down. Maybe you couldn't put your hand up, and I'd ask you, if you couldn't, could I pray for you? You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Jesus to save you. If that would be you, if you raise your hand right now, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here right now that would say that I've never done that? Just raise your hand real quick. Put it down. Okay. Christian, let me ask you a question. Are you living in the fast lane? Are you hustling and bustling around and getting caught up in this world and all that the world has to offer? That it can take away from your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, man, I'm just rushing here and there. I don't know which way is up. My life is hurrying here. I've got a bunch of burdens and stress on me. And it's taking a toll on me as a Christian. And I know I can do better with that. If that would be you, if you just raise your hand, I'll just pray for you. Anybody here? Yep, hands all over the place. Yep, you can put your hands down. And I agree, it's a difficult thing to admit. But yes, we're living in the fast lane, and we need to change that. Let's all stand to our feet. I'll pray. And then as soon as I get done praying, if you want to take that to the Lord, my suggestion is take the yoke of the world off and give it to the Lord and let him give you his yoke and ask the Lord to forgive you and to work in your life. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time again. I pray, Father, for those that had their hands up and said, Father, they are in a hustle-bustle life, Father, and it's taking a toll on them in their Christian walk with you. I pray, Father, that you would take that burden from them. I pray, Father, that you would guide and direct their lives. I pray, Father, that they would hand that to you right now, Father, and knowing that you will give them peace and rest, Father, as your word says. We ask this in Jesus' name.